going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone, and it's intercepted! Intercepted! They knocked down the ball! Head of the 35!
Welcome to another episode of the Duck Pod. I'm Ryan Thorburn, joined by Austin Meek. And this week our guest is Joey Knight from the Tampa Bay Times. And Joey covers South Florida football, so he's quite familiar with Willie Taggart, Oregon's new football coach. Joey, I guess my first question is, what is Willie Taggart like as a football coach and just also as a person? What's he like to deal with?
Very pleasant to deal with. Always has a smile on his face, just perpetually upbeat. I'm sure you've heard him say this already, two of his favorite sayings: let's attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. He got that from Jack Harbaugh, and, you know, every time you speak with him, he does not exit without saying, have a great day if you want to. So he is, he's a very upbeat guy, very likable guy, charming. What you saw at that opening presser there at Oregon, that's pretty much what you're going to get at every press conference. Just very, very easy to deal with. I had a very pleasant experience in my four seasons dealing with him. We bumped heads on a couple of things, but by the next day it was all over. Overall, it's very pleasant as a coach. I think he's probably what you would call the quintessential player's coach. He's young enough at 40 to where he kind of speaks their vernacular and he can get into their music. I mean, he's one of those guys, you know, after a big win, he'll be dancing with the guys in the locker room, but he's also old enough to where, you know, he can be a patriarch when necessary. I don't think it's any secret that a lot of kids on his team, you know, grew up in families without fathers. So he's had to play a fatherly role to a lot of these kids, and he's old enough to be able to do that. So it's kind of, you know, if you're considering, you know, if you got a child considering to play for Willie Taggart, you've got a lot of skill sets that he brings, just in terms of the way he can engage with the young generation and put his foot down and be the dad when he has to.
Were you surprised that he ended up getting this job? I think when his name first surfaced, there was some thought that, well, you know, maybe this is kind of a starting point for Oregon's search. Maybe it's an interview that would fulfill the Rooney Rule law that's on the books in Oregon, but maybe he's not, you know, option 1A for Oregon in this search. Were you surprised that he ended up getting the job, and was there a sense down there in South Florida that, if not Oregon, he definitely would be moving on to a bigger job somewhere this season?
I was surprised he got the Oregon job. I was surprised. I knew he wasn't long for USF. He's the coach on the rise. I thought he would get a job at a Power 5 program either this offseason or the next offseason for sure. He's just, his stock is just too high right now. I thought it would be, for lack of a better term, at a mid-major Power 5, if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe somewhere like a Purdue, or if Larry Fedora left North Carolina, somewhere like that. I know Mark Stoops was having trouble at Kentucky early on this season. You know, Willie graduated from Western Kentucky. He's kind of a folk hero there. I could have seen him landing at the University of Kentucky. But to go across the country at a program that was competing for a national championship only 2 years ago, that caught me by surprise, and I don't know how much of his connections to the Pac-12 are overstated. Yes, he was with Jim Harbaugh for 3 years at Stanford, but just 3 years as the running backs coach at Stanford, does that constitute a network of recruiting connections in Northern California and the Pacific Northwest? I just don't know. I think Willie will continue to recruit Florida. He already is, no question about that, but you know, when those parents and that kid, when it's time to sign on the dotted line at a school that, you know, a whole nation away, of half days plane flight, will those kids end up really taking that step? I think he will get some Florida kids, but I don't think he's going to get a whole slew of them to make that commitment to go all the way across the country, especially now when you look at the guys in Florida who have been hired here in the last few days, Lane Kiffin, Charlie Strong, and then you go right along with Jimbo Fisher and Mark Richt and Butch Davis. You know, I don't think a heck of a lot of guys are going to get out of the state of Florida and go to Oregon. Willie's a great recruiter. He's a tireless recruiter, but he's got his work cut out for him. And if I may say something else. You've heard this narrative since Willie's been hired, you know, people praising him, like Tony Dungy saying he stuck with the plan at USF, and that's what impressed them about him, that he stuck with the plan. Schematically, that's totally false. Hmm. When Willie got to USF, he wanted to implement a Harbaugh-style play-action, power running game type of offense with a stationary drop back quarterback and you know, just try to run power. And that just wasn't conducive to his personnel. And the result, you know, they did a lot of pre-snap movements that just seemed to confuse the guys. That's another Jim Harbaugh staple. They were very high up in the NCAA in penalty yards that first year. It just wasn't working. It wasn't conducive to their personnel. And even when they moved in year three to a spread-style offense, high-tempo thing, it still wasn't working through those first four games. Quentin Flowers says it himself, I felt like a robot. He's the USF quarterback, the record-setting quarterback. Those first four games in 2015, he has told us, I just felt like shackled, like I was playing like a robot. And it wasn't until some guys who grew up with Quentin in South Florida, some teammates, went to Willie and said, you've got to turn Quentin Flowers loose. You've got to let him be Quentin Flowers. You've got to let him improvise and use his legs and do the things that we saw him doing when he played high school ball. Finally, when Willie acquiesced and he turned Quentin Flowers loose, that's when this whole thing changed for USF. Hmm. They've gone 17-4 since that conversation, since Quentin Flowers became Quentin Flowers. So, you know, you talk about staying the course and sticking with the plan. That's just not true. Willie had three offensive coordinators in his first 3 years at USF. He had three defensive coordinators in four seasons. He had to totally change the offense. So, you know, he still recruited the Bay Area, the Tampa Bay Area. That never changed. But schematically, yes, he had to change the plan.
Well, Joey, as Austin can attest, there's still fans, boosters, whoever around here that were really hoping it was going to be Chip Kelly stepping out behind the curtain up until the last second. And obviously Chip Kelly's offense is what made Oregon a national brand, a win the day, the spread, Mariota, all that stuff. Given what you just said about, you know, his style at Stanford and trying to implement that, what do you think the lessons he learned from that were, and do you think that'll affect how he approaches this job? Do you think he'll try and go away from the Chip Kelly style, or do you think he will hire someone that can help him do what he was just doing at South Florida with Quentin Flowers?
I think Willie learned how to adjust during this four-season tenure at USF. That's the one thing you got to give him credit for. You know, he did, in the end, he acquiesced. And he changed things up to suit his quarterback and let his quarterback maximize his abilities. I think Willie, you know, going forward, that'll be one of his big attributes, the ability to adjust. I think he's going to try to bring the Gulf Coast offense to Oregon initially. You know, it's zone read based where the quarterback has some options. There's a lot of horizontal throws. A lot of jet sweeps that you see, and still running some power from time to time, except, you know, with the formation spread out, it arguably gives your lead rusher, you know, a few more running lanes. I think in this day and age of college football, I think that can work at Oregon, and I think Willie will try to implement that. It just depends on, you know, whether he has the personnel to suit it. But if he doesn't, if these last 4 years have taught him nothing. It's that sometimes you have to adjust on the fly. And he did that. You got to give him credit for that. So, you know, he's 40 years old now. He's a coach who has learned, you know, over these past 7 years as a head coach. And like I said, you can't devalue the influence of Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh and those guys who he stays in very close touch with. They will continue, I'm sure, to give him guidance and, you know, and just advice whenever he asks it. So Oregon is getting a guy who has done it before, a seasoned coach who has learned how to adjust. So, and do I think his Gulf Coast offense can work in the Pac-12 with the right people? Yes. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see going forward.
University president put some pressure on Willie right off the bat by saying he needed to go out and find a great defensive coordinator. Obviously, defense has been a problem for Oregon through the years and especially recently, and I think some Oregon fans might have been a little concerned to look at the total defense rankings this year and see South Florida only a handful of spots above Oregon on that list. You mentioned that Willie's had some turnover with that defensive coordinator job. It sounds like they have a scheme that Tom Allen ran, who's now at Indiana. What was the issue for South Florida defensively this year that caused them to take a step back? And what do you see, what direction do you see Willie going with the defense and his coordinator hire there?
Well, just to go back a year, they went to a 4-2-5 formation in 2015. It's basically a nickel defense, which you got to have in this day and age with all these spread schemes. And Tom Allen, in his only year at USF, he's now the Indiana head coach, he implemented that. They called it the bull shark defense. Guys were enthusiastic about it. It took a little bit of convincing of some guys, but eventually they bought into it, ranked very highly in the NCAA in interceptions. And it escapes me right now, but they ranked high in a couple other defensive categories in 2015, but it worked. That's the bottom line. This year, tackling seemed to be an issue for whatever reason. Raymond Woody, a longtime Willie Taggart's lieutenant, was promoted to defensive coordinator. Wasn't the rah-rah, fiery guy that Tom Allen was. Tom Allen really endeared himself to these kids with his enthusiasm. That's just not who Raymond Woody was. Woody's just far more low-key and somber, and I don't know if that created any type of a clash, but tackling was an issue all year long. It's something that they just never really kind of rectified. And you talk a lot about gap control, and Willie talked about that a lot in the games where they really struggled, just filling gaps and filling your assignment. Well, it's hard to fill gaps when your linebackers are getting blown out of the play, and you saw that a lot. It wasn't so much that they weren't in their gaps. It's just that they couldn't stay there. They were getting blown out. So maybe that's an indictment of the linebacker play at USF. I don't know. But, you know, was this year an aberration? I'm not sure. I think the 4-2-5, the way Tom Allen drew it up, it worked at USF. I think it can work at the next level with the right personnel. But this year there were just some deficiencies and some poor tackling all year long that they never got corrected. And I'm sure, you know, I heard his directive that the Oregon president gave him, go out and get the best defensive coordinator possible. I know he had conversations with Charlie Strong over the weekend before Charlie signed that contract with USF on Sunday. And I'm sure Willie's going to find somebody, probably a name, to implement his defense at Oregon. It would really be interesting to see who he gets.
Well, I can tell you some words the Oregon fans don't want to hear is gap control and leverage and pad level and all that stuff. But you mentioned Charlie Strong. Obviously, you've been busy covering the search, which Charlie Strong has been hired as South Florida's coach. South Florida's getting a good deal out of this. Looks like Texas is going to be paying the bill for a lot of this. Do fans almost, you know, in terms of experience and name recognition, see what's happened at South Florida is maybe a slight upgrade getting Charlie Strong instead of Willie Taggart? How is this being perceived down there?
I think what has transpired over this last week has really elevated USF's cachet. And it started with Willie getting the Oregon job. Because fans at USF can now say, hey, look at us. Oregon wanted our coach. You know, we're a player. And USF, you know, is just completing a 10-2 season. This program has never won 10 games before, so it was already on an upward trajectory. And then having Willie Taggart be courted by someone of the prestige of Oregon put them on the map or a little higher on the radar. And then for Charlie Strong, the coach at the flagship university in the state of Texas to come and get this job just, I mean, elevated the cachet that much even more. So from that sense, you could argue this is one of the best weeks in the 20-year history of University of South Florida football. And you mentioned the contract. According to his payout plan at the University of Texas, Texas still owes him $5 million annually over the next 2 years, but that compensation was deferred, meaning it was reduced by half of whatever compensation he gets at his new job. Well, USF is really smart. They backloaded Charlie's contract. It's only going to pay him $1 million this year and $1 million next year. So essentially, Texas only saves $1 million from this humongous payout for Charlie Strong. So they kind of kicked Texas and the Big 12 in the teeth, and they landed, you know, a coach that everybody thought they should get. So again, just a win-win for USF all the way around.
Well, Joey, we know it's been a busy time for you. Congratulations on getting the coaching search wrapped up, and we really appreciate you taking a couple minutes to chat with us.
Well, congratulations to you on getting the coaching search wrapped up. In our line of work, you know that's a grind.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks, man. We appreciate it.